I don't know. Zoom is like consistently changing their prices and like what they allow and whatnot. Like in June, we paid $40 and we could stream to Facebook Live and we can have 300 people. Like we could have do all this stuff. And then when we tried to do that again, like 2 months ago, it was like that's like $500 now. So they're like really surviving in this in the
Somebody
pandemic.
decided to make on-demand pricing.
Yeah, I was gonna say, welcome to capitalistic America.
You're listening to Queer in the Valley.
Hi, everybody. How are you today?
Great.
Hey, doing so good.
Good, awesome. Well, welcome to our February 2021 episode of Queer in the Valley podcast. I guess we do have a special guest. We do have Dan Hardy here. He is our Vice President of Operations for the Center. If you want to introduce yourself, Dan.
Hi, everybody. Really happy to be here. My name is Dan Bennett Hardy. I am the Vice President of Operations at the Chippewa Valley LGBTQ plus Community Center. Been involved for many years and excited to talk about some movies.
Awesome. And then, of course, I'm Brianna. And then we have Benny and Danny here if y'all want to say hello.
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 And has everybody enjoyed their January? We're having a super mild winter, which is A plus in my book.
Yeah.
Two snowfalls, I can deal for
Right.
sure.
If you can even call those
Oh,
snowfalls.
right.
Exactly.
If we
Yeah,
were in Texas,
absolutely.
we would call them complete blizzards, but since we're in Wisconsin, it was a mild, couple of mild dustings for
Yeah,
sure.
this state would have been shut down if it was anywhere
Yep.
like below Iowa, but so yeah, I guess oh, COVID vaccines have been rolling out, so
I
I'm
mean,
definitely number like last on the phase, so I'll never get it, but
I'm phase two. Like, wait.
yes.
My mom, God bless her soul, just got her first vaccine today, so very
Yay.
excited.
Nice.
Yeah, so there is a light at the end of the tunnel. But yeah, so we are talking about LGBTQ movies. That's our theme for the month, and we're excited to talk about it. So I guess we'll just shoot right into it. Warning, we do not have a Golden Girls Minute this month. It was just everybody's busy schedule, and it's really where Ron's heart lived. So we're transitioning, seeing where we go with that. But yeah, so movies, LGBTQ mu movies. Obviously, we've seen kind of a transition into seeing more not only LGBTQ representation in movies, but just LGBTQ themed movies that we haven't seen in the past. So just like your thoughts on that, how you've been seeing it. I know that I think we all kind of come from different generational times, so it'd be good to like kind of get how like the differences in that and all that, because so yeah, if anybody wants to go.
One of the things that I like to talk about when we talk about LGBTQ plus movies is who exactly is making them and who the audience is. Because I think when we talk about all these movies, there's a lot of different types because you have Hollywood produced movies that are for a straight audience, that are for LGBT, that revolve around LGBTQ plus issues. But then you have straight heterosexual people who are producing LGBTQ plus movies for that community, thinking that they're doing a service by making some movies. And then of course you have the opposite side where you have actual LGBTQ plus people who are making movies hopefully for the wider global audience. And then you have kind of what I consider the more fun movies, which are the LGBTQ plus movies that are made for and by the community. And I think those tend to be the more fun ones to me. So I think we're seeing, mainstream Hollywood go more and more into producing LGBTQ plus movies. Whether they hit the mark or not, that's another question.
Yeah, my biggest issue when you've got a straight cast and a straight director, and they might have one person that is, you know, a consultant who is part of the community, they tend to get things wrong, and they act like they know how it feels, but they don't. And it feels kind of like a token movie almost.
I definitely agree on that. To me, I studied film for a little bit at Eau Claire, and I've kind of seen a big aspect, like, all around of, like, all the different types that have been described. And to me, it's definitely in the taste of it. And you can tell the people who are outstretching, who basically have that consultant come on, and that seems a little bit more insulting, mm-hmm. more definitely.
Yeah, and I would say even when it comes to, like, representation of LGBTQ people in movies, especially within the last couple of years, not only has audience been pressuring, but, like, even Hollywood's been pressuring, when you do representation, just actually, like, cast a gay person, cast a trans person, instead of having a cis actor do it, because it almost does seem like they're hiring these big name actresses and actors to play these parts, just to kind of gain notoriety rather than tell a story. And I think that's been a big thing. Would you agree?
Yes, I do agree. As someone who loves films and movies as much as I do, on the other hand, I also see not so much like, what was it? I never saw the Scarlett Johansson issue and debacle that happened, that I definitely don't agree with, but there have been other slighter, not as, I mean, I don't want to say that that film was super important and, like, Oscar worthy and groundbreaking or anything, but lesser roles that, I don't know, like, for example, I see NPH come in and play a heterosexual person, and I do enjoy that, but I also know that that type of film that he's doing that in, it's, like, calls for that taste, if that makes sense.
For those of you that don't know, that's Neil Patrick Harris.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Somebody doesn't know.
Lingo here.
Oh, let's
understand. And he's always helping me out because Ben.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, guys.
No need to apologize. No. But yeah, I mean, and that's another hot take, is how we do have LGBTQ people who are playing straight roles, like NPH in what's that show he plays that has an awful ending? How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, that's a great ending. Thank you very much.
But, like, oh no, it doesn't.
That's a conversation for another.
That's a whole other podcast. Yeah. Maybe we should do a How I Met Your Mother review podcast.
But that whole character of Barney was developed from his character in the Harold and Kumar series.
Yeah.
Where he basically plays the same person, but a weirdly exaggerated version of himself. And those films are, you know, they're meant to be stupid. They're meant to be campy and all that. So that's where, in reverse situation, as long as it's, like, not a forced upon thing where you are trying to do it for the money, for the big names, then that gets bothersome because screw capitalism and all of that focus to it. But again, to me, it depends on the aspect of it, because if you're going to go for, like, Moonlight, if anyone has seen that came out in 2016, like, I definitely would want that to be portrayed more realistic, more with actors who understand the emotions behind it, versus something that's a little bit more campy in the LGBT film field.
Yeah, and I think it also depends on, like, how important it is to the movie, or, you know what I mean? So, like, if the movie is centering around a gay couple or a trans person, it's important to have gay people or trans people play that. Whereas if, like, if it's not centered to the role, like, say like it's just a you're a random person, you know what I mean? Like it's if you're telling a story that's supposed to have an impact, it's important to have the correct representation. Yes. Of it. Yeah.
I don't want to play devil's advocate a little bit though. I'm split. Excuse me. The reason I'm split is because sometimes there's a story that people need to hear. It's something that needs to be told. And if the only way that we can get mainstream society to hear that story is to get somebody who has a bigger name, I might be more prone to overlook it. However, it will still kind of be cringy.
If yeah. That
means. Right. Well, no. Yeah, like a really good example is Brokeback Mountain. Yeah. If Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal had not been starring in that movie, wouldn't have ever become such a big thing.
Exactly.
Maybe not.
Well, and the thing with them too, sorry to interrupt you, Dan.
No, go ahead.
Is I could be completely wrong, but I love their chemistry in that movie. I thought mm-hmm. they had really good chemistry. It's mm-hmm. just like when you do Fried Green Tomatoes, Mary Stuart Masterson, Mary Louise Parker, they didn't get to really explore the chemistry that they had on screen because of the era that film came out and the censorship that the production company was giving to that film. But I wish I could have seen more of the book version of those two, because those two, despite as far as I know, without wanting to make assumptions and all that, are two straight women who had amazing chemistry, like Heath right. and Jake.
Or even, and I'm going to butcher this, the movie The Danish Girl with Eddie, what's his last name?
Redmayne?
Yeah, sure, I don't know. I mean, like, that was, quote, unquote, groundbreaking and won awards and stuff, but Eddie is a cis white man who played a transgender woman. And so, but, like, so would that have been as impactful, or because that I would say Brokeback Mountain and The Danish Girl have been breakthrough movies for the community to just like be like kind of be okay to produce, like, you know, like you could have success in sharing these stories, but would they have gotten the same success if they didn't cast big name people in them?
Right.
Yeah.
And probably not, but at the same time, there's potential harm when somebody is being treated as brave or being a vanguard in this by portraying something that they're not. Because I don't care how good of an actor you are, you can't know what it's like to be gay or trans or, you know.
And I think, and that's anything. Where I also just don't feel like I have too much authority to say what's right and what's not, because I am a straight cis woman. So like I don't really, that's why I was like, I'm probably gonna moderate a lot of this, because my opinion doesn't really matter in the scheme of things on how I view representation. But I mean, do you feel that mainstream media in the movies and Hollywood, do you think that they are kind of getting it right now? And they are kind of portraying gay relationships, lesbian relationships, trans people, gay people more frequently than they used to, in a more accepting and normalizing it. So like, it's totally normal to just have a trans character, but without like making it within like, you know, the scheme of like a big part of the movie, like just your random friend. Do you feel like that's shifting more in Hollywood and in movies? Or do you think like, we have such a far way to go?
We are in the fetal stages, I feel, of Hollywood understanding that and starting to listen to the community about what we actually want for representation.
100% cut and paste, or copy and paste, because credit to Benny.
And I agree with Benny too. And I would just add, almost every gay story or trans story that I see, there's a coming out story in that story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a problem, because guess what? I'm out already. That's just me as a person. So you have a movie where there's a girl bringing another girl home for Christmas, but guess what? She hasn't told her parents she's a lesbian yet. why.
Well, let's not talk about that movie,
please. Yeah, I know. I didn't mention the name for a reason. But it's like, why does there always have to be a coming out story? That is not normalizing things. That's saying that you always have to come out. And guess what? We're over that. We don't want to have to come out anymore. We just want to be who we are. So
actually, go ahead, Dan.
I was just going to say, I want that to end. I want people to just be who they are and not have to keep telling everybody or having that be one of the main parts of their story.
Yeah.
And what I was going to say is maybe we should bring up that film, even though I could go on a 20-hour tangent about how much I disliked it.
What film was it? I don't even know what you're talking
the
about.
The film we're referring to is Happiest Season. It came out this year through Hulu, I want to say, released it.
Yep, it was Hulu.
And it has Dan Levy, Kristen Stewart.
Oh, that movie, oh.
So that's actually, in my opinion, a good showing of what straight Hollywood is making into a gay movie, like the bad version of it. Because like Dan said, you have to have the whole coming out aspect that was in it. That was like the main focus of the movie. Mm-hmm. On top of it, you had, and I'm going to be killed for this because I know so many people actually ended up liking this movie, but I was not okay with how they basically gave it a Hollywood ending. And yes, I realize that sometimes that does happen, but to me, everything that Kristen Stewart's character went through, in real life, I would not have put myself through that.
That and relationship would have flamed and burned in real life.
Yeah, that just felt like a straight writer writing that for the, mm-hmm. Oh, look at the gay couple do get together in the end and it's all happy and blah, blah, blah.
Like the Hallmark Christmas movie. Like,
yes. I don't want to like give it away for people who haven't seen it and give it a chance and all that.
Oops.
I don't make a spoiler alert at the beginning of the movie. It's not spoiler free.
I remember sitting there and like yelling at my TV how literally disgusted I was being a member of the community, being someone that actually had studied film and had studied just in general creative writing, that Hollywood ending made me almost physically sick. It was such a bull crap wrapped in a bow, basically, right, to the LGBT community.
And just also being in the community, and so many of us have had to go through things like that where we don't live happily ever after.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's another trope. You know, it's funny because we're talking about the happy ending being bad, but at the same time, there are so many tropey endings that are just horrible in gay movies. It's like you're cursed with you're great gay, but now you're going to live in misery for the rest of your life too. So there's this balance between the Hollywood ending and this horrible Hollywood ending, and like how can we just make these normal, you know? And maybe romance movies are problematic anyway because they always seem to have some happy Hollywood ending.
True.
Harkens back. Brokeback Mountain,
Brokeback Mountain, yeah. Boys Don't Cry.
Boys Don't Cry. I mean, so like when I go and hang out with my friends, I know this is real life and not the movie, but when I go and hang out with my friends, our conversation is not centered around my transness or my friend's gayness or whatever. We talk about normal stuff that people talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So I think.
Yeah. And we feel like that's how, like, I feel because, and like I said, I'm a straight cis woman. My Q is that I'm asexual. That's my A. I get the A in that part. But, like, I am so invested in this community that, like, we don't talk about, like, this big, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, it's not a center of our lives. Like, we're normal people. Y'all are normal people, like, with real issues that maybe that's something that Hollywood's not normalizing LGBTQ. They're just making it more of a sensationalization. like, you know, like, it's the point of movies rather than just having a gay character dealing with a normal problem or mm-hmm. a trans person can't, but you know what I mean, like an everyday problem where we see, and I'm trying to think of even movies that have normal problems that don't revolve around love and misery.
I think Moonlight is a really good example of that. Like, I watched Moonlight and I thought it was really very different than a lot of the gay movies, because, like, yes, this guy was gay, but it wasn't like that was maybe necessarily the main struggle in his life. Mm-hmm. I don't know, Danny, if you agree with that, but, like, I really thought it was novel in a way that it dealt with maybe the acceptance.
I agree. I, first of all, anyone that's listening that hasn't seen Moonlight 2016, it's available on actually a lot of platforms right now.
Yep.
Highly, highly, highly recommend it. I haven't seen it for a little while, but from what I do remember, the focus was more so, I want to say, like 60, 40, 70, 30, more so focused on him being a Black man growing up, you know, in the ghetto and, like, growing up like that way, and then slowly him realizing that he is also a gay man, and that kind of came in at that 30, 40, and that was a really good way to see it, especially considering you have, if you do have the Black gay man, he's usually the campy token character, especially in TV shows. You don't really see him as a main character, and you don't see the harder side of life when you are unfortunately in the lower class ranking of our crappy system.
So it really just shows the intersect between being Black and also being gay, and understanding that there's often many different levels of oppression within a systemic group. Awesome.
And it's not even that. It could be like any nationality, because like, we'll get to talking later, one of my favorite LGBT films, Saving Face, deals with a Chinese woman who's identifies in the LGBT community and dealing with her family dealing with it.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I think this is a good place to wrap up and take a quick commercial ad break. And then we'll go on, and each of us will get to talk about our favorite movies and why you should also be watching them. So stay tuned. And welcome back to Queer in the Valley. Me, Dan, Danny, and Benny are here, and we are talking about LGBTQ movies and representation in movies. And so now we're going to kind of just go in and talk about our favorite movies and why you should be watching them. So who wants to go first?
Well, I'll go. Don't mock me for this, and a lot of people have to understand that I'm a little bit older. One of my all-time favorite LGBTQ movies was But I'm a Cheerleader.
Called it! Oh!
You shut up!
That's what I think everybody was going to say that movie!
I love that movie! I love that movie. It's just because... Yes, we have the coming out story and all that kind of stuff. I understand that we're past that. But at the time, this was something that we were still learning about, people actually having a coming out story. So, you know, all these people and the assumptions behind some of the characters. Like, there was one person who identified she, her, hers, and was, you know, just very masculine. But they assumed that she wanted to be a guy. And you've got the whole gamut of the LGBT. Well, I guess there's not really any trans people, but in any event, the whole movie just, it feels like it celebrates people learning who they are.
So just to let you know, I may have done a little bit more background on this one, because this was also my favorite movie.
Okay.
So this, you have to remember, This movie came out in 1999.
Yeah.
It stars the wonderful National Treasure, Natasha Lyonne, which everything she does is amazing. It also starred RuPaul, out of drag.
Yes.
It had Clea DuVall, Eddie Cibarran, Melanie Lynskey. I think that's her name. She's the lady, the British lady or the foreign lady from Two and a Half Men. And Richard Mole, who played Bull on Night Court. And frankly, as a kid, you know, as not a kid, but you know, in 1999, even Richard Mole to me was like kind of like a big thing. Like I maybe didn't know who all these other people were, but everybody knew who Bull was. And that kind of added at the time, like a little bit of gravitas, which is funny because, you know, he wasn't like a very like well-known actor. And then of course it had the incomparable Mink Stole. You can't have a gay movie without Mink Stole in it, frankly. but yeah, that movie was so great because it touched on a lot of the things that people were afraid to talk about, like conversion therapy. That's what this whole movie was about, really. It's about conversion therapy and how it was so damaging to people, and to see it being called out and to see people go through that and come out better than they did because they understood who they were. It was such a groundbreaking thing. And, you know, like the whole relationship was between RuPaul's character and Eddie Cibarran's, or however you say his last name, you know, they kept eyeing each other through the whole movie, and you know, it was just so great. And then of course, what was the lighter? I think it was some sort of like cigarette lighter or something.
Oh, they had the book of matches where they figured out is that what you're talking about?
Let's just say under the sheets, someone was using something hot.
Oh, it wasn't a lighter. It was like a little shocker thing.
Right. You know, there were so many things that were so just on the edge of being taboo that would have never made it that were able to get past in this movie. It's such a groundbreaking movie for the time. And I would say it is still extremely watchable.
Yeah.
One of my favorite. Sorry, Benny, go ahead.
Well, I had my twins who are 18 now watch it when they were about 14 because they were starting to experiment with their sexuality and their gender identity. And it really opened their eyes.
One of my favorite things about the film is, like Dan said, of how not only how it goes to that border of taboo, but also how it takes the hetero cis views about not only the LGBT life, but about just gender, and just turns the satire up to like max.
Oh boy, those boys chopping that wood. Classic.
Well, and the fact that it's all in blue and all in pink and like everything.
Oh yeah, they push gender norms in that movie so hard at the conversion camp, which is another thing that I'm glad that they exposed. So that's my all-time favorite LGBTQ movie, I guess. I that might be cliche and I don't care.
I just called it. Dan, do you have another one, or would you like me to go?
You can go.
I'd have to say that my ultimate favorite LGBT film is Saving Face. I don't know if anyone else has seen that. Like I mentioned earlier, it's about this Chinese daughter who is out, but because of her culture and all that, her family kind of pretends that she's not, and just the life of dealing with that. I forgot what year it came out, but I enjoy it. It's always been a favorite of mine. I don't know if has anyone else seen it?
I have not. I will definitely have to check that out.
I know offhand it is on Prime.
Ooh, sweet.
I came across it doing research for today.
I highly recommend seeing it. I do know that one of the newer LGBT films that really caught my eye, it's on Netflix, I believe. It's called The Half of It. I want to say it's on Netflix, and it's like a high school little, yes, I would say rom-com, but not the way you would think. I don't want to give too much away, but another one to recommend checking out.
I have also seen that one, and I thought it was pretty good as well.
Good to know. I'll check that out.
Anything by a good production company for the LGBT, at least I found, has been Wolf Releasing, and that would be W-O-L-F-E. They've been around, I think, since, I want to say 87. Is when they've been producing stuff.
I'll agree with that. They try really hard to make it authentic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of queer movies made for queer people. Very enjoyable. Right.
If I can just quick chime in, I know we're supposed to just do our favorite one. If people want two good recommendations of, I want to say they were also late 90s, Better Than Chocolate, and which has a very tough scene to watch, but I think it's a very important scene. It has to do with the transgender community, with the gay community itself, and how sometimes even in the community there aren't allies when there should be. And Defying Gravity is another one I highly recommend. Basically, it takes the norm of heterosexuality and switches it our community, and our community is the norm, and heterosexuality is the closeted lifestyle of the late 90s in that film. So two older recommendations if people have not seen those.
Good to know.
So I think Brainerd's on mute. But there you go.
Either that or I put her to sleep.
No, I was just like, I literally have no idea about movies anymore. Like I'm gonna have like I feel like I'm going to just have this long collective list, and in 18 years, I'm just going to be nonstop watching movies.
So I have a really, so since My But a Cheerleader was already discussed.
Sorry.
No, it's such a good movie. You got to see it if you've never seen it. Yeah. I have a very unconventional, what I would call queering movie. And it's by the Wachowski sisters, who made The Matrix, which is Cloud Atlas. It's going to be very unclear as to why this fits, but this is kind of a science fiction-y fantasy romp.
Darn it, Dan. I've been like putting off seeing that movie, and now
it's got this. Yeah, it's got this like theme where you're watching, like, I think it's like 4 or 5 different times in history, and the characters through the different times are basically reincarnated. So you're like switching between like the characters themselves aren't necessarily tied together, but there is a gay couple in one of the timelines. They're switching genders, they're switching cultural identities throughout the movie. So I think in a way it's kind of queering the whole, the notion of unending love. You know, it's not always a heterosexual couple that are always the same sex. It's going between genders and sexuality and culture. So I think it's kind of a, if you
it's
like
not
kind
the bodies,
of
bodies, it's the souls.
Right. And if you like the kind of I wouldn't necessarily call it trippy because I think it works really well, but a kind of a bending of time in science fiction-y aspects of movies. I think Cloud Atlas is probably one of my all-time favorite movies, and I do love everything the Wachowski sisters have done, including Jupiter Ascending. So I guess maybe that says something about me, but yeah.
We'll just have to have a movie night, Danny.
Well, that's nothing new. Well, besides current situations.
Yeah. But, well, you touched on, like, the trans, there's gatekeeping within the community of trans, and I've felt it. I've had it happen to me. So I feel like that's something that they should address too a little bit more, because within the community, there are people that don't believe that trans people are valid. They don't believe they exist. They believe that we are confused. And it is an underrepresented topic that maybe it's going to be a hard one, but maybe it needs to be tackled.
I highly recommend checking out the Better Than Chocolate. It's not a full aspect of the film, but there's a very, very powerful scene interpreting, or not interpreting, including that in there, actually.
Okay.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, I, like I said, I, my three, so like, but I'm a cheerleader, and then because I grew up with drag queens in my life, and on, since I was a child, Birdcage is a huge one.
Oh my God.
That was a big one. Gosh, let's see, what else is there?
Benny, what's the one with, Patrick Swayze and John Leguizamo?
Tu Wong Fu. I love that movie.
I can't remember the full title, but that's a mouthful.
Tu Wong Fu with Love.
Yeah, that's such a good movie.
Yep.
I would say, and when it comes to like recently, I mean, like obviously, I remember watching Brokeback Mountain as a teenager, and that was slightly devastating. That was a devastating movie. That was awful. Yeah. That was, but when I think about like within the last couple of years, my favorite has been Booksmart, because I feel like it did do a really good job at like kind of normalizing LGBTQ, because obviously one of the characters was a lesbian, but it wasn't like the main.
It was so normal.
Yeah, it was just a normal, like that was just a part of, like they did it. I mean, obviously they approached it because she had a crush, but like it wasn't, they didn't approach it as this big revolutionary thing.
It's a lesbian crush. It was just a crush. That's it.
Yeah. And so like, and so it wasn't this huge aspect in like breaking, it was just breaking like barriers in the movie. It was just like, yeah, just like how any other person would have a crush, and it wasn't that. So Booksmart is a really good movie. I loved it.
Yeah, that's something that people forget. People in the community, we have crushes just like everybody else, and we deal with them just like everybody else. It's no different just because we're in love with somebody that a hetero person wouldn't be crushing or in love with. We handle those very, very much the same.
Yeah, I guess like would we, I think that like when it comes to the conversation of representation, especially in movies, I think it's one of those where like we do need to be very aggressive with representation and with the issues that LGBTQ people face in the movies, but we'd also like to get to the point where we don't have to do that anymore in movies. That's just a part of, and I feel like that's how people in the LGBTQ community feel about life. Like they don't have like, you know what I mean? They just want to make it so normal that it's not going to be a huge deal to have to come out or do all that stuff anymore.
Right. Like if they're going to a dinner party, there might be a gay couple and that's normal. They don't talk about it. They're just there as a gay couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll go to those parties. I'm there.
So am I.
I can guarantee you if there's a dinner party, Dan and Jason are there. Dan is enthusiastically there. Jason is mumbling under his breath.
Too true.
I'd rather be at home with the cat.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Well, yeah, like I have a friend group. We have hetero people in that friend group. We have gay people in that friend group. Myself, who is trans and pansexual. And we touch on things about the community when we're talking, but the whole night is as normal as when before I came out and I went to a purely hetero party where you just talked about life and like I wasn't the center of attention and nobody else in the room was. We were just there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like our real lives, our gender and sexuality is such a small part of who we are as people. The same thing should be true of people that are in films. Like gender and sexuality generally isn't the biggest part of our lives. It's a part of our lives for sure, but it's usually not going to be the thing that shapes every single thing that we do in our life. Right. And I think that's what I want to see change. I don't want somebody to have to come out when they bring that girlfriend home from Christmas. That should just be already known. That's a thing. There's so many other places for drama.
I think you could do like those movies that they used to have with like Ashton Kutcher and stuff where he like she'd bring him home to meet the parents and her dad was super strict. They just need like a gay version of that.
So okay.
And like it's like totally normal, but
how many people have seen at least 3 Adam Sandler movies in the last 10 years?
Oh yeah,
I for have. Sure.
Every single Adam Sandler movie. Yeah, all those Adam Sandler movies could be done with a gay couple or some sort of queering of a man and a woman couple. And there'd still be the same amount of drama or the same amount of comedy. Yeah.
Yes.
So think, that's where we need to go.
Yeah. Yes. And there's just like a fine balance where stories need to be told, important stories need to be told about the community. But then at the same time, we need to see more normalization of LGBTQ people in movies
and not tokenization either, like oh we have to have a gay person in this movie because of XYZ,
like classic horror movies how there's always like the black guy and then like the one gay
the gay person, the blonde girl,
the gay the best friend better the gay best friend better have a complicated backstory or I'm not buying it,
right? Yeah.
Danny, is there anything you'd like to add? You've been quiet for the last couple minutes.
I've talked my head off the first half of it. And these two finally get a word in. But no, mostly I've been agreeing with everything you guys have all been saying this time.
Yeah, awesome. No, I think this is great. Any other movies we should be shouting out? I don't know. Anything else on top of your head?
Just this, like if you like subtitled movies, The Way He Looks, I think is a really fun coming of age story. It has a blind kid in it. Okay. And that has always kind of fascinated me anyway. And that's a really good movie that a lot of people like.
Okay.
I was going to say, having studied film, I did get to view a couple foreign LGBT films. I would recommend I want to say it's Swedish. It's Show Me Love. And I recommend it because it deals with two girls in middle school finding a connection together. And then Fire, which takes place in India, and as you can imagine, is a little bit of a darker film, not that scary, but it's definitely more of a serious film, but highly recommend watching also.
Yeah. And if you Google LGBTQ movies to watch, there's things like Call Me By Your Name, which is, my friends, like I think I discussed this with Dan earlier, it might be a generational thing. My friends loved the movie, but then Dan's husband said that it wasn't that good. It's also
don't say that.
It's also kind of creepy because there's some like predatory stuff, so I'm not sure. I haven't seen it because I don't exist in movies anymore. Love Simon's in there.
Love Simon. I love that movie.
Yeah,
which led to a good TV show. So
definitely. Yeah, and again, it's a little cliche, but what can you do? That's like you're really looking, if you're a young gay boy who's looking for an outrageous movie to watch, just look up Eating Out. I think they're on Amazon or something like that. You'll totally enjoy it.
I'm just gonna tell you, Dan, I remember that movie now. I remember I watched it with.
Oh, there's a whole series now. There's like 7 or 8.
The one movie she does want to comment on.
I have this There's, I don't, I think it was Eating Out, but it was like a weird, yeah, it was a weird series that my old college roommate Oscar, Oscar's like 10 years older than me, just so everybody knows. He was actually my mom's friend first, but we went to college at the same time. And we ended up being college roommates, and I remember him making me watch them when I was in high school. But otherwise, there's Blue is the Warmest Color, which I've heard great things about.
Yes.
Carol and Boy Erased, I've also heard really good things about.
Oh, yeah.
With Nicole Kidman. Obviously, Rocket Man's in there because it's Elton John. Pride is in there.
So I will say Bohemian that. Go ahead.
Bohemian Rhapsody, it's about Queen.
Yep. And then there is The Handmaiden.
I really want to see that. Looking up the stuff, I'm like, I need to see that movie.
Yeah, there is The Kids Are All Right, which is about a lesbian couple, I believe, raising kids. And a documentary that showed up when I looked it up, and I've actually seen, and I forgot I've seen, and I actually remember when we started this podcast, I wanted to cover this documentary with Ron, is How to Survive a Plague, and it's about the AIDS epidemic in the 80s.
Yeah, I think we could do a whole nother podcast on really good LGBTQ plus documentaries, because there's a lot of really good
ones.
Oh, yeah. And then there's Trick in there. That I know Dan really loves that movie.
Oh, boy. Let's talk about young Dan really liked the movie. That's what
I say. Yeah, I guess that's about it. I mean, I don't know. There's some really campy ones. There's In and Out. Let's see. What else was there? The Runaways was in there with Kristen Stewart and Dakota Fanning.
There's also Itty Bitty Titty Committee. That's a good one if you're especially like for feminism and all that. There's also The Incredibly True Adventures of Two Girls in Love. That's another mouthful one that I always screw up.
Wow.
And then we have things like Kinky Boots and Pride.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's just so many movies now. And when you think about when I was growing up in like the 80s, like what we had available to us compared to now, it's really night and day. Like we can definitely critique and kind of complain about some of these things, but just the fact that the absolute volume of movies that's available and the ease of finding these movies with all of the streaming services, it's so much easier to find this stuff even than it was 10 years ago, which I think can only be a positive, because the more people that, even if their messages are sometimes a little skewed, they're seeing this kind of information, they're getting used to seeing it, they're feeling comfortable watching it. So hopefully that makes them more accepting, and hopefully it'll help some kids who maybe don't know yet kind of figure out who they are.
Thank you for listening to Queer in the Valley, a podcast brought to you by the Chippewa Valley LGBTQ plus Community Center, where we talk about current issues, pop culture, and all things pertaining to being LGBTQ in the Chippewa Valley.